Thank you. My name is Vinayak Shedekar. I'm going to be talking about the uncertainty in rainfall measurements and what could be some of the implications to hydrologic modeling. it's pretty well established that some of the automated rain gauges have underestimation error associated with their measurements, and some of the well-established stations, they would already correct for these. This presentation is more focused on where you have your own setup for site-specific measurements and watershed-scale measurements. The literature does show that there is about 5 to 40% bias in the monthly estimates of rainfall because of these errors. So our study actually started with our own field measurements in Ohio and our collaborators in Texas. What you see here is on the left the cumulative rainfall measured using a standard non-recording gauge, which is the black line, and the pink line is the one that represents the tipping bucket rain gauge that is being used for automated measurements. Similar observation in Texas. So as you can see, there is a consistent trend with respect to underestimation by these tipping bucket rain gauges, and we wanted to see how, if we can correct all our historically collected field data based on some calibration approach. So the first question to answer would be why do these rain gauges, especially the tipping bucket rain gauges, underestimate? And there is some weather factors that are involved. Essentially, the errors associated with measurement can be categorized into random errors and systematic errors. The random errors obviously relate to some of the weather parameters, but also some of the installation parameters with respect to leveling of the rain gauge. But then systematic errors are the ones that we can at least try to correct and minimize that uncertainty. And those relate to the tipping bucket mechanism itself. These are some of the approaches. The best way would be to keep a standard non-recording gauge on the side as a quality control, but then you cannot get that fine time resolution to go along with. So you're going to be dependent on your totals, daily totals or weekly totals, comparing them with the tipping bucket rain gauge data. Physical models, there are some physical models that do exist based on the mechanism of the tipping bucket itself. Proper installation is a key, and of course calibration approach that I'm using in this study. So objective was to just see how these errors look like in our models, and then see what the effect is on the hydrologic modeling. So these are the three tipping bucket rain gauges that we use, and most of the hydrologic studies you will see these three models. The first one is the Hydrologic Service Model 3, HSTB3. ISCO is another one, and then the one at the bottom you will see that's very common because it's very cheap to use, which is the Texas Instrument rain gauge. And so we have three models. We did some we simulated these different rainfall intensities in the lab using a peristaltic pump mechanism, but before that we had to do the pump calibration itself just to minimize the uncertainty. And then we also did the volumetric calibration, which essentially relates to measuring the volume at which that bucket tips. And then dynamic calibration, which simulating different rainfall intensities and looking at the measured rainfall and the actual rainfall amount. And then apply these corrections using two field corrected data. This is the experimental setup in the lab and out in the field. This work is already published, so I'm presenting part of this because this is important for my next part, which relates to the modeling approach. So field experiment, as I explained, and out in the field, we had these three tipping bucket rain gauges, and we had a standard non-recording gauge in the middle to see the actual cumulative rainfall. Volumetric calibration, the only thing to note here is the two rain gauges, the ISCO and the hydrologic service. These are 8-inch diameter rain gauges with the tipping bucket volume about 8 milliliters per tip. And then the Texas rain gauge had a smaller volume per tip and a smaller diameter. So here is how the measurement errors look like with respect to the intensity. So on the x-axis you can see the actual rainfall intensity simulated in the lab, and the percent error in the measurement with and this low intensities you see more scatter because we had limitations with respect to our pumping mechanism. So but then as you go into a little bit higher intensities, you can see the trend for this HSTB, which is hydrologic service rain gauge. The error remains pretty much consistent all throughout the rainfall intensities. And these three lines represent different tipping volume. So ideally, the rain gauge is set up at a volume that is equivalent to a 0.01 inch of rainfall. But then that relates to certain milliliters, which is this red line here, 8.3 milliliters. But then we also try to look at what happens if that volumetric calibration changes out in the field. So that's why we try to do manually change these volumes per tip and look at the errors. So you can see the extent of error changes with the tipping bucket volume, as well as for this case, the errors pretty much remain constant. But in case of ISCO and the Texas instrument, you can see more and more underestimation as you go into higher rainfall intensities. So it becomes even a bigger issue when you have more intense rain. Based on our measured and actual values, we tried to develop some statistical models. The first very simple approach was to simply use a linear model that shows a relationship between our major rainfall and actual rainfall. So actual rainfall as a function of measured, get the slope and intercept. And then, but then what we did was we had all our measurements at 1 minute interval, but then we aggregated these measurements at 1, 5, 10, and 20 minute intervals, assuming that in the field you might have a measurement interval of 5 minute, 10 minute, and so on. So we wanted to see if that time interval actually makes a difference. Two other models that were tested, one relates to time between the tips and the inverse of the actual intensity. The third one relates to it's a quadratic model that relates to the volume per tip and the measured intensity. Just the outcome, you can see the red dotted line here is the measured values by the tipping bucket rain gauges in cumulative. This gray line over here is the standard non-recording gauge, and we're trying to reach there by applying the corrections to the measured data. And you can see the three different approaches that we applied, which is the slope method, the quadratic model, and the T versus 1 by Q model. All of them pretty much brought the measured data closer to the actual rainfall values, but not very precise. Another observation we had was when you plot these I'm showing here is it's just a zoom in on this time series here and this time series here. You can see this is the same event here. The HSTB, which was one of the most accurate rain gauges, showed this type of accumulation of rainfall. But then look at these, the other ones. The other model, which is the TR-525, it just kind of shows that straight line. And the reason is it was probably related to some of the clogging issues. And it just kept on dripping and measuring the false readings. So, looks like I'm running out of time. So I'm going to go to the effect on hydrologic models. This is results from drain mod simulation for drainage outflow, and the red line shows the drainage outflow that you see before correction, and the drainage outflow you see after correction applied to the rainfall data. And typically in calibration, we don't think about rainfall data, and this is pre-calibration correction. So even before you start your calibration steps, if you correct the data, you can see I'm getting closer to the observed, except for this year where this was a wet year and this was a dry year, I think. So there is some calibration that you will still need. So I got really good calibration after I got the correction of the rainfall data. Similar results in terms of runoff and drainage. You can see a certain percent change in rainfall, which is this line here, can cause such a large percent change in some of the water budget parameters. So just to conclude, these errors are important, especially if you are using data from your own sites, so do definitely consider the errors and approach to correct these errors. I think that's all I have. Okay. Thank you.